There's nothing more beautiful than the word of the Lord. There's nothing that is more discouraging than to think that you could read the word of God and not be able to understand the word of God. That would be the most discouraging thing that I would know of. Reading here in the book of Revelation in the fourth chapter, we've read this to you numbers of times. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then the Bible says that John saw this book in his right hand, and of course we bring out something along every once in a while concerning this book. But let's just take a thought here, just for a minute, concerning this door open in heaven. We spoke of it a number of times, and we spoke of this where Peter, Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And he opened the door both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And this was at the beginning of the church ages. And of course, that door that was open was Calvary. He opened the door by looking beyond the fleshly vesture of the Lord Jesus, and looking and seeing the angelic spiritual being that was hid behind the mask, as we say, or the fleshly robe that was called Jesus. So then he went beyond the fleshly veil, and the veil thus was rent. And after that, going to Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. And we brought it out a number of times as to what it means about the veil being rent in twain. And what it has to do with, the Bible said, speaking of his flesh. So we know that at the beginning of the church ages, this door was open, and there he abolished death in his flesh. And here we find that the door is open in heaven. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. John is now about 96 AD, exiled to this little Isle of Patmos, a rocky island off of the coast of Asia Minor. And it's about 96 AD. It's just a few short years after Calvary. And here he is writing a book called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, or The Revealing. That is to say, since the veil has been rent in twain, shortly after that, Jesus wrote of the expose. Because truly Calvary had brought about the expose. So now then, since Calvary, there was a door open in heaven. Now this is what I mean when I say it would be so sad to read the Bible. To read the Bible and having read the Bible, not be able to understand the Bible. I say this to you so often, that Jesus preaching to the different ones, speaking to them in parables, the disciples asked the question, why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? And he said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto you it's given. So then we know that there was another dimensional step as to what the others were taking as Jesus expounded and explained the scriptures. The others were entering into a secret place, whereas the Bible speaks of the mysteries of God, entering into this great, wonderful mystery of that is going beyond the veil. That is to say, going in the door, going into heaven, or going into a heavenly place, as it was when Rebekah went into the secret chambers with Isaac, and thus the veil was moved. And we spoke today of how that in the old country the women still wear the veil, signifying that in the old country the veil is not yet lifted, as to say the Jews being blinded in part, and the veil still remains over their face, whereas the Bible speaks of the Old Testament saying that this veil, as to the veil of death or the veil of the Old Testament, it still remains over the face of the people. Speaking of the Jews, this veil untaken away as even till today, as we would say. Paul said it as in his day. Which veil is done away with in Christ? So that is, the veil has been rent. As to Christ Jesus, this veil was rent and taken away. But it's untaken away as to those that are out in the world. For they shall not see when good cometh, and they cannot see beyond the veil. And they have this veil of death that fell over Eve's mind. This veil of death, this power of intellectual reasoning, this power of death, this power of darkness, the spirit of darkness and ignorance that fell over Eve's mind, that was brought on over to Adam, that in Adam all die. This veil of death, this intellectual concept of religion. And that creates a mystic thing about religion. And when we look around, we see this veil of death as to everything being vanity of vanities. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. So then we see these things, and when we behold it as vanity, and we behold it as vexation of spirit. We know that it's all lying vanities, it's all vexation, and it has to pass away. So then they that are caught in these things cannot get beyond the veil. They do not pass beyond the veil of death. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death, Eve. The day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. So they're caught within this veil. And this veil is not lifted. In the old country, the ladies still wear the veils. You know, to be shamefaced. Over here I say that in America they've taken the veil away because it is typified that in the crossing of the gulf, that over here it indicates that you're beyond Calvary to the church, and now the veil is taken and the beauty of the woman is exposed. And that means that you can now look upon the face of the wife, or that is to say, when Rebekah went into the secret chambers, the veil was moved, and there they beheld face to face. For the Bible speaks of seeing the Lord Jesus face to face, beholding as that of the unveiled in a glass, and being changed from glory to glory as into his very image. So we sing that song, "Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face." Now, not looking through a glass darkly as through the veil. A lot of this is kind of hard for some of you to understand. I just passed through it real fast. I don't have time to break these things down. But I'm sure that some of you understand what I'm saying. So then we're speaking about a door open in heaven, or that is a rent veil, or that veil that is standing between the great Holy Spirit, which is God, and your inner spirit, which is the angelic spirit. That is to say, your natural being as a human being, having conceived of that intellectual blindness as to the mind of Lucifer, or the spirit of death, which is the spirit of Lucifer. And within your body there dwelleth no good thing. For that power of death, that blindness, that intellectual darkness is interwoven within your body, and within that body that blindness is there. And Paul spoke of it being the body of this death. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "Well, I would do good. I find that evil is present with me, for inwardly I delight after the things of God, but I see another law within my members," that is to say within my body, warring against my mind as to the inner man, and bringing me into subjection to the bondage of this outer outer problem as to my outer man. He said, a conflict that's against my inner man. And he said, and it makes me subject to the vanities of this life, of which I hate. And the good that I would do, I cannot do because of outward interference. And he said, and the evil that I would not do, this outward interference subjects me to it, that I find myself stumbling into it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he spoke of God delivering him by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm no longer subject to vanity, because I am now dead to sin, and the sin is gone from me, and I'm now dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm now alive unto God, and I am delivered from the body of death and death. The Spirit went back to God who gave it. And since I am dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus, I am now buried in my angelic being, went back to God who gave it. And now my spiritual being is dwelling in heaven. And he said, as John, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. So then we are they that are sitting in the heavenly places. So there's a door open in heaven through the rent veil of the body of the Lord Jesus. We can, by faith in God, as the voice says to John, come up hither. We can pass from this world through our angelic being and go right up into the heavenly places, as to understand the mysteries of God and understand this great, wonderful revelation. That's why the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And I remind you again, as being in heaven, seeing all of these wonderful things in heaven and looking back into the earth and seeing those people that were so distorted in their minds by the earthly things and wondering why that they could not understand these heavenly things. So there's a door open in heaven, and you've got to get into the spirit to get into heaven. So he said, I saw this door open in heaven. There is a door that is open in heaven. And the way that you get into heaven, heaven is God's spirit. And the way that you get into heaven is you transformate into the mind of Christ. Your spirit, your mind transformates into the mind of Christ. Your spirit translates into the spirit of Christ. And the ultimatum someday is that your body would transfigure into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to be made manifest that the world might see it. But before the world can see it, as to the change of the celestial body, your mind is gradually transforming from glory to glory into the wonderful mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your spirit has, by divine translation through faith in God, as it was with Enoch, being translated into the kingdom of God. So then the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, men have pressed their way into it, and God hath presently translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So we pass from death unto life, and now we have been translated into the wonderful kingdom of God, and we find that the veil of death has been moved away, and we are no longer subject to death. He hath abolished within his flesh death. So then when Jesus died and he took away the body of death, that meant my body of death was gone, and I'm not subject to the body of death anymore. It's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And the Heavenly Father, which is the eternal Spirit, he never beholds me again as the body of death. My body of death in his sight is eternally gone. He never sees me as a body of death anymore. My body of death is completely eradicated and gone. He abolished death at Calvary when he took away the body. He smote the body, he took away the body, and today I am a bodiless individual, to the extent that my body is dead, my body is buried, my body is gone, my angelic being separated from my body, and my angelic being went back to God who gave it. And today my angelic being is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoration of all things, or Thessalonians change, when the Lord Jesus himself shall appear in the heavens, and this body shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into that wonderful body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then God never again sees this body as a body of perversion. He never sees it again as a body of death. He never sees it again. It's gone forever. All he sees is the body of his son. He sees my spirit divorced from the body that I was born with as an Adam, all die. And he sees the bastard child image all gone and the sinful image all gone. And he sees me now as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is, he sees me in my glorified form in my chains out yonder, and he sees me in the image of his lovely son. So then I have nothing to fear. I have no condemnation. My sins are gone. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, and blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And he that is born of God, the Bible said he cannot sin, for the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God, and no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. And the Bible said that we pass from death unto life, and that we keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not. So then we are the church without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish, and God hath the ministry set there for the perfecting of the saints, to the extent Paul said, this we wish, even the perfecting of your faith. So we are teaching and tutoring to the revealing of the word as to this revelational mystery, that you may have the spirit of revelation, and that you might come to the perfect understanding of God's word, to know what God has given you in Christ and what God has done for you in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was, in that this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light at Calvary at the rent veil, that it might be preached to you down through the church ages, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great wonderful thing, that you might hear this in detail and believe this and become the great wonderful fullness of Christ, as to the full measure of the full stature, or go on to a full reward, that you may have this wonderful blessing of God. So it's so good, as I say so often, to be a Christian. It's so good to know that we are perfect in his sight. We are without spot. We're without blemish. We're without sin in his sight. Though we stumble and though we stagger and though we're full of mistakes and though we're full of error as to our own bodily problems, yet God never sees one of them. Yet he never charges one of them against us. And he encourages you and I to never condemn ourselves over any stumbling or any mistake or any error. And he said, a good man will fall 7 times, but don't let it bother you. Just get back up and go right on. There's none good but God, but the Bible said we're the body of the Lord Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, members in particular. So then he picks us up and he carries us on the wings and we continue on. So that means that God never sees us with a spot. He never sees us with a blemish. He sees us as his own beloved child. Can God sin? Can God sin? Can the flesh of God sin? Can the bone of God sin? Can the sons of God sin? Can the daughters of God sin? Is there sin in the body of the Lord Jesus? Wasn't it said, and in this just man we find no fault at all? And the Bible said we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, that in this just man we find no fault. Can God then find fault with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was not he chastened? Was not he beaten? And the Bible said, and he was bruised for mine iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him, by whose stripes I'm healed. Like sheep, we've all gone astray, but God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And the Bible said, where these things are, there's not even a conscience of sin anymore. That he has so thoroughly taken it out of the way and so thoroughly eradicated it, that to the blessed children of God, to the little children of God, there is nothing wrong anymore. Can you blame your little suckling babe? You know, you have a little baby, and the little baby is 2 months old. The little baby is 3 days old. The little baby is 3 weeks old. The little baby is 1.5 years old. Do you blame the little baby with anything? Don't you nourish it? Don't you love it? Don't you cuddle it? Now, the little baby does wrong. The little baby messes up his diaper. The little baby can, you know, he can get his hands in grease and mud, or whatever it might be. Even it grows up to be 3 years old, or whatever. It'll play in a mud hole, whatever. But do you pounce on it? Do you hate it? Is it all dirty and filthy and you don't love it anymore and you reject it? Or do you just take it, put it on the shower and wash it off, cuddle it, love it, spray it, kiss it, and it still belongs to you? See, that's the way it is with us. We're the precious, dear, beloved children of God. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, we are His children. He said, I give my angels charge concerning thee, that they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. All the time that we're going through life, the angels of God are right there with us. No matter what kind of crisis we go through, no matter what kind of problems we go through, the angel of God is right there to hold us, to catch us, to keep us from any kind of problems, any kind of hurt or whatever it might be, just like a mother in the arms, and cuddle us and take care of us, to love us, because we are the precious, wonderful, dear, beloved children of Almighty God. So then we are delivered from sin, we are delivered from death, and we're delivered from heartaches and sorrow. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. For the blessing of the Lord giveth thee the desires of thine heart when you delight yourself in the Lord. So it is God that is with us. It is God that watcheth over us. It is God that hath made us righteous and holy and godly, and not ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So then I feel secure and I feel happy. What have I done to be a Christian? What have I done to be holy? What have I done to be righteous? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I came to the altar and repented, and I tried to live holy and godly and pure, and I fasted and I prayed, and it's took me many years to get to the place that I've gotten to. So then I would say to you, what kind of place have you gotten to? I would say you've probably gotten to be a mess. Let's give the Lord a hand. If you've been here 10 years, you're 10 years a mess. If you've been here 50 years, you're 50 years a mess. Isn't that something? If you've just been here 2 years, you wouldn't have been but a 2-year mess. Somebody say hallelujah. But you know what? Before you was ever born into the world, God made you perfect. And before you was ever born into the world, the Bible says, before you ever came into the world, that God gave this righteousness and this perfection to you in Christ Jesus before you ever breathed your first breath. And He called you with a holy calling and predestinated you unto eternal life. And even Paul in his day, when he came to preach to the people, he preached to those people, and the Bible said concerning those people, as many of those people as were before of old, as from the foundation of the world, preordained unto eternal life, said when Paul preached, they believed, said the rest of them did not believe. So then, what have you done? Nothing except believe. Then why do I try to do the things I try to do? Someone would say, why do I try to fast? And why do I try to pray? And why do I try to walk straight or get away from the world or put away the gullible desires of the flesh? I do that so I can believe. I try to do that to assure my heart so my heart can believe, because I'm saved by faith in His righteousness, and I'm saved by faith in His works, and all of these things He's already done for me. See, and all these things is appropriated for my benefit, and I want to believe that, and I want to accept that, and I want to have that, and the only way I can have that is to believe that, and the only way I can believe that is to put this old body down and this old mind down, to get this old devil that keeps howling like a wolf on the mountainside out of the way. That old devil that works in the body that keeps saying, no, this old devil that keeps fighting against me, Paul said, that's constantly accusing me as to the body of this death, that when I would do good, evil is present. That conflict, he said, that when I would do good, evil is present. And this thing I see warring in my members against my mind, bringing me into condemnation, that's always arguing with me and telling me that God don't love me, that's putting me down and telling me that I can't be saved and telling me that God is not my heavenly Father and telling me that I'm trying to kill him out. I'm trying to stop his mouth. I'm trying to do everything I can to get away from that body, to mortify the deeds of the body, to kill him out. The Bible said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. I'm trying to build up the inner man, the one that God has filled with the Spirit and sealed with his Holy Spirit, the one that Satan cannot touch because darkness hath no power over light, and light and darkness cannot fellowship. So I'm trying to stop the mouth of that old thing that's got five human senses, that is subject to the vanities of this world. And I'm trying to, as Paul said, keep under the body, bring it into subjection, so that I can put my foot on the head of that old serpent, do away with that old body, to be divorced from that I might be married to another, even the Lord Jesus Christ, to stop the mouth of the gainsail and stop that old body from hindering me with its unbelief, that I might believe in this wonderful thing that our Heavenly Father has done for me, and convince myself that there's no more conscience of sin, and that I'm free from death, and I'm free from sin, and that I must believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I must believe these things that God has said to me, and I must believe in what the minister has said, in that I'm free from death and I'm free from sin and I'm free from iniquity, and God will not impute sin unto me, and that I cannot sin because I'm born of God, that God has taken it all away, and that the accuser of the brethren has been destroyed in the sight of God, and that he will not accept accusations against me, even though the body rages with accusation, God will not listen to one of them nor substantiate one of them against me. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I am persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. For you're justified, sanctified, glorified, predestinated. You are God's elect according to his foreknowledge. So that's why I fast, that's why I pray, that's why I study, that's why I try to walk upright. If I just waver about, if I go out here, and if I don't stay steadfast in my faith, I cannot get the benefits of God. The Bible said if you want something from God, ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, if I want to get healed, if I want somebody to get healed, if I want a blessing from God, if I want God to meet my need, I have to ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, and if I'm going to ask in faith, nothing wavering, I've got to kill out my mind of unbelief. That old mind that Eve let in, that robbed us through the fall of Adam and Eve from our garden home and all the many blessings of God. And Satan standing between us and the restoration of that great, wonderful thing that's been lost through the fall. See, and death, I've got to eradicate the death that they've let in by believing myself back into that garden, back to that millennium garden. So then I must believe. I simply must believe. That's all that's required. I must believe. That's all there is to it. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the lovely gift of God. So this is why I try to do the things I do. The better I can live, the more I can lay those things aside, the more I can put my foot on the head of the old serpent, kill out that old mind, mortify the deeds of the flesh, withdraw from the things of the world, and that Satan is the prince of this life, the less he can accuse me, and the more holier that I can be, the less he has to say against me. And the more holier I am, the more the world will see Jesus in me, and the greater light I will be to them. For the more Christ-like I will be, and I will draw more people to me, and the greater my reward will be in heaven as to the blessings of God, in the sense that the more of Christ will be in me, a greater measure, because I will believe the more. You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why Paul said we're set there as the ministry for the perfecting of your faith, to teach you these wonderful things that we might make your believing perfect in the things of God. God has appropriated, you know, all the money's in the bank. Calvary's the bank, and all the money is now in the bank. And you're under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father. And all you got to do when the time comes that you are no longer as a child, though you be Lord of all, you differ nothing from a servant as long as you're under the tutors. But now if you come to the time of the bar mitzvah, you can step out and say, hey, I can believe. You know, I can believe for myself. Here's Calvary. I believe for myself. And just reach over in the bank and write the name of Jesus. Take out what you want. Go on your way and enjoy it. Rejoice forevermore. Somebody say hallelujah. This is what God wants. We're His wonderful children. We're His children. By faith in Jesus Christ. All right, let's stand together. I could go on and on talking about this wonderful, wonderful way of God. You love the Lord Jesus? I love the Lord. I'm glad that where these things are, there's no more conscience of sin. Isn't that right, Brother Taylor? No more conscience of sin. Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. How could you have anything but joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? How could you have anything but joy knowing down in your heart that you cannot die, knowing that you cannot sin, knowing that you're going to be strong and young and healthy and full of life and exceedingly rich above all things throughout eternity, never going to die? You may go to sleep. Some of you may go to sleep. But let me tell you, there's a world of difference between going to sleep and dying. Dying is when you go into the lake of fire. Dying is when you go into hell. Dying is when your spirit is separated from the spirit of life. And beloved friend, when you're born again, the spirit of life and your spirit becomes one. You can never, never be separated from life. You have life eternal. Lazarus went to sleep. We say died. He went to sleep and the angels carried his spirit to Abraham's bosom. The rich man did not go to sleep. He died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing that with me now. For my rest it is complete while I sit at His feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, thou rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. But the tempest it may sweep out over the wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe, nevermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. The altars are open. I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Sing it with me now. So don't turn Him away. Turn Him away, for He has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in.
to stay for oh how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Let's listen to the Savior, lest hear his loving voice. Don't turn him away. You love Jesus, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Go and bring them in. Bring them in, bring the wandering one to Jesus. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Oh, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go and bring them in, go and bring the wandering ones to Jesus. I saw Betty come up with the young lady there, and I couldn't figure out who it was. I thought, I know her. And she was just telling me it was Lisa, Charles's daughter. I remember Charles, my brother. Lisa, I prayed so many, many, many prayers for her. And I believe your husband is here with you, Lisa. Where's he at? Can you raise your hand? Oh, back here in the back. Let's give these folks a hand. That's really warmed my heart to see my brother's children and the daughter and husband here. I really pray that they'd come and be with us and that God would save them. I pray for all of Charles's children. I pray for them with a regularity. They're very dear to my heart, and I don't get to see them very much. But we really prayed for them through the years that God would save them. Can we sing that one more time? Go and bring them in. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Go and bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. One more time. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the field of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Go and bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing. One more time now. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. Can you give him a wave offering? Oh, we're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall rejoicing. Bringing one more time together now. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. Where will you be? A million years from now. Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While the ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this way. Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Where will you be? A million. Will you be singing? Will you be happy? While the ages roll, while eternity, I ask this question. And I thank him for the valleys that I walk through today. The darker the valleys, the more I turn to pray. Found you.
So I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. Thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Blessings are that be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Sing with me now. Thank you for every light climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys I walk.
You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. Let's sing another chorus or two. And we'll let you go, all right?
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Can you sing that with me?
Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. Done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay where I could find real happiness and love that's true. He said, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Sing with me.
Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be happy again.
One more time.
Set across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine
another key. Sing this little chorus. I like to sing this little chorus. Getting the letter from Brother Malad over in the Holy Land and planning to buy some land there in the old city. Really makes me think about the visitations, having been to Israel at least 7 times and fixing to go back into the holy city, if the Lord will allow us to do that. It really makes me think about it when we sing this song, "The Stone Has Gone Away." Give me another guy. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Sing that with me. For it's gone, death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is simply gone, to sit at my Father's side. For over death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For it's gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back, gone, I saw the tomb, simply gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forever. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. The heart of stone is gone now, and within its place, he said, I'll take out the heart of stone, place within you the heart of flesh, and write my laws upon the table of your heart. And Paul said, the love of God constrains me, but I can walk in his love. Give me another key. He was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was all the time. Sing that with me now. My Lord was here all the time. Jesus was here all the waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something has happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. For Jesus touched me, my Lord, he touched me. And oh, joy that floods my soul. Oh, something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me. And he made me whole. Let's just slip our hands up. Close our eyes together. Let's sing this. Give me another cave.
I will praise him. The Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory all ye. Oh, his blood has washed away.
Sing it with me again now.
And I will praise.
Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes and worship him tonight. And the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you call on the name of the Lord tonight? Call on the name of the Lord. Ask him to save you tonight. If you've never made that commitment, call on the name of the Lord.
Of him glory all ye. For his blood has washed away every stain.
Once again, I'm going to call Brother Pasden up to dismiss us.
And I will praise him. I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us
praise him now. His brother Pasden, just coming in from Mexico, having come back from our Nevada crusade, as he goes to dismiss us, let's sing this one more time just before he comes now.
I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners.